Malachi chapter 2. These are the days of Elijah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We thank you, Lord God, for the deliverance that has been given to us through Christ Jesus, and we magnify you. We rejoice. Lord, we come together to sing your praise and to exalt you, not to learn some new thing, but to learn what you've already done. And Father, we thank you that we are participants in those things which you've already accomplished because of faith in Jesus Christ. Because it's only by faith. It's only by faith that we enter in. It's not by things that we have done, not by works of righteousness, but Lord, according to his mercy. According to your mercy. So we thank you today that as you have demonstrated and prophesied and brought forth your deliverance to us, that Father, it was in a re-giving or a re-instituting of the gift of the ministry of Elijah, of the power of the Spirit coming into the world to introduce the coming of the Savior, to introduce the redemption that was to come. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's just good to go back and see what we believe. Amen. It's good to go back and see what we believe, to look into these things. To not to just kind of, okay, well, you know, we kind of came here, sang a few songs, and you know, heard a thing about how to be good or how to do something right, or you know, listen to the word of the Lord, the history of what God has done. From the foundation of the world, God has been working in this world. He created you. He created you to have fellowship with you. Amen? He didn't create you so you could just wind this thing up and let it go down. He created you to have fellowship with you, not to let you just kind of live your life and bump along and bump into people and see what would happen. He's not a scientist in a laboratory. Huh? Say amen. See, this is good. You got to remember who's preaching. Some people just go on. You know, I need a little help. You know how it does. It just keeps people moving, doesn't it? It keeps the preacher moving. All right, at Malachi chapter 2. Now listen, we're going to talk about here. This is going to talk about the priests. All right, we want to find out about the priests in the days right toward the end of the ministry of the Old Testament. Let's find out about what God has to say about the priests in that day. Amen? And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. Well, guess who that's for? If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. Well, that doesn't sound like a good God, does it? Keep reading. I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung on your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, and my covenant might be with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. And he walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you are departed out of the way, and you have caused many to stumble at the law, and you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Father, we just praise you. We praise you for your mercy. Father, we thank you that you've made us to be kings and priests. Yet flesh still seems to have a sway. And we thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, which you have provided. Even as Jesus spoke of it in John, the latter chapters. And we thank you, Lord God, for the ministry of John the Baptist, the ministry of Elijah, that came again and came to pronounce and announce the kingdom of God. And Father, today we ask you, Lord God, by your mercy, to bring to pass in us not the contemptibleness of these priests, but the glory and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that brings to pass the joy of the people. And we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many know the Holy Spirit has come on the inside of you to cause you to become a king and a priest unto him? Amen? Hallelujah. And you have authority over sin. We learned that last time we got together. Amen? Sin shall not have dominion over you. Let it not. Well, the let it not is, let sin not reign in your mortal body. Let it not reign. Didn't say it wasn't going to happen, but don't let it reign. So much of the reigning of sin is the fact that you don't understand that you're forgiven. Amen? You don't walk away from sin as soon as it's... You're not done with it when you're done with it. Then, see, the enemy has got you in a trap that you're going to feel guilty and wander around and get under condemnation and be beat up. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. That is, get forgiven immediately. Go immediately into the presence of the King. Amen? And receive forgiveness. That was just for free. That was just to remind you last time. Chapter 3. Get over to chapter 3 of the same book, Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. He said, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to do a lot of scripture today, especially when we get into John the Baptist. Now, these are the things that God is preparing for his people. These are the things that God is prophesying. He's announcing that he is sending a messenger. He is sending someone to break open the kingdom of God in the earth. Chapter 40, Isaiah. Comfort you, my people, says your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Man, God need a highway? Make straight in the desert. There's a desert. That Malachi scripture talked about, there was a desert, there was a dearth, there was a lack of priests, of godly priests in the land, of the lack of the Word of God in the land. In other words, what he's coming down to is there's no hope in man. You put all the right guys in place, and you know what happens? Nothing. You get the church all organized, and what happens? Nothing. You get a lot of, you know, barbecues. You get a lot of baseball teams. You get a lot of stuff going on in the world. You get a lot of entertainment. But you don't get mature men and women of God. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Well, Jesus needed a highway. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and every hill shall be made low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Here's the godliness of man. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. It's just grass, nothing. In a moment, you're burned up. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So whatever is happening with men is not what we look to. It's the word of God that stands forever. The word of God is our hope. The word of God, the word which is spoken, this word which is produced early on to declare that Jesus Christ is coming, that there is an announcement being made. O Zion, that brings good tidings, get you up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that brings good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with the young. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here it is. Here's the beginning. You always wonder what the beginning was? Here it is. The beginning of the gospel. This is powerful because it's the beginning of the gospel. Amen? This is good. This is the beginning of the gospel. I like to get there at the very beginning. These words up here, you know what this means? Bereshit. You probably didn't realize it because you had to read it from right to left. If you all read it from left to right, it'd be something else. But from right to left, it's Bereshit, which is in the beginning, the very. God likes to start from the beginning. Here's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. How many knew the gospel began in the prophets? Anybody ever read Genesis chapter 3? Verse 15, to Eve, to the devil, your head is going to get crushed. His heel is going to be bruised, but your head is going to be crushed. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way before you. Well, isn't that what we just read in Isaiah? Well, here it is in Mark. Here it is, hundreds of years later, here's the word of the Lord. Behold, I send my messenger. He's going to prepare the way for you. See, in the Psalms, Jesus is saying, hey, you've prepared for me a body. Well, now he's prepared a messenger to make room for his body. The body that God provided for him. You prepared a body for me. In the volume of the book, in the word of God, in the volume of the book, it's written of me. I send my messenger before your face, verse 2, which shall be prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Let's look over at Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at the story of John the Baptist. Hallelujah. These are the days of Elijah. Look at Luke chapter 1 and look at verse 5. Now just listen. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. I didn't sound like they were perfect people. You know what? I don't buy that. I don't believe they were perfect people. But one thing I do believe is that they were walking in the joy of the Lord. They knew the love of God. They knew that God loved his people, that God was not out to curse his people, but in fact God was out to bless his people. That from the foundation of the world, God's people were designed to have a blessing. For Abraham, he said, "In all you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." They were looking at the scriptures that we've looked at. They were looking at Isaiah chapter 40. They were looking at Malachi chapter 2 and saying that there are priests that are wicked. There are priests that care not about the people. But you know, God can find himself a priest. Amen? God can find himself a priest who will minister for him. But it's only by his grace. It's only by his mercy. It's only by the faith. Abraham was counted righteous because of what? His good works. No, by his faith. Because he believed, he was counted righteous. How many of you know that there were those in the Old Testament who believed God? Abraham believed God. You can read Hebrews chapter 11. Many believed God. Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. You can say by faith Zechariah. We read there in Malachi chapter 2. I mean, the priests have gone after their own thing, have done their own way. Well, I got a pretty good here, got a pretty good retirement program. I think I'll just kind of relax. No, God is working in me, in you, through us, by His Spirit to minister the gospel. It's like our sister was sharing here this morning. Paula was sharing this morning. Just about the ministry that God has allowed her to have. You have a ministry that is out where you are. Amen? Yes. It's just where you, I mean, daily you wake up. Daily you go wherever you go. And the Spirit of God is in you to minister life and joy and peace and righteousness. Amen? It's to convict. The Spirit of God is in you to convict. No matter where you go, down to the on the run there, picking up the milk. You know, that guy that sees that you're angry, or you don't care, or you're just filled with rejoicing. Every place you walk in, you know your light's lit. Amen? Amen? Don't you know that? I mean, you're on 24 hours a day. Your light is lit 24 hours a day. The Spirit of the living God. That's who you are. But we kind of get distracted by stuff. Huh? Stuff. Here, look at this. And they were both righteous before God by faith. You got to stick that in there. Well, I can't be like them. See, they were chosen by God to have John the Baptist. Man, how would you like to be holy enough to have John the Baptist? All the young parents here, maybe you could have John the Baptist or some kid. No, you just believe God. They were righteous by faith before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. They were old. And came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, this guy was not young. It's like Abraham. He was not young. He probably read the story of Abraham. Huh? This guy was not a young character. He just kept doing what he needed to do. Just kept doing what he needed to do in the course of his ministry before the Lord. Amen? Not giving up. Because they didn't have a son to carry on the priesthood, to carry on. I mean, there are certain things you believe about your society and your culture and the way of things in your family or in your neighborhood or in your business that, you know, well, like this guy, if he didn't have a son to carry on, well, what good are you? You know, if you don't have what it takes to carry on, to keep going, what good are you? And that's what the enemy wants to tell you, is what good are you? See, the Lord has a purpose. The Lord has a purpose right where you are. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter how many times you failed and messed up, right up to sitting in this pew today, the Spirit of the living God, your King, your God, loves you, and He has a place and a purpose for you starting right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Just begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. And quit looking so hard. Well, you know, He just hadn't come through yet. I guess I haven't done enough. Well, fool, you're never going to do enough anyway. Huh? Amen. So just worshiping God now. Forget about what you're done and haven't done. Repent of your sins. That is, confess your sins. Oh, God, I've been stupid. I've been ugly, nasty, evil, wicked to the high heaven. I've taken care of my own needs, of my own self. I've with my hands, I've cared for my own needs and haven't trusted you. Thank you for forgiving me. I believed you'd forgotten about me. Huh? No, He didn't forget about you. He's just waiting for you to give up. Give up your own macho. You don't have any macho. You don't have a thing. Hallelujah. What you do have is the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, who loves you, and He wants to produce in you such a power and such a might. It's such light. He's producing it in you. Amen? Woo! Fruit's coming out. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, just kept going. You keep going. Before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. You know, that's probably the job that was about here. He probably didn't even have the big great job either. You notice he wasn't the high priest? Anybody notice he wasn't the high priest? He's just a priest guy. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, his job, was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. What are you doing? You're not supposed to be in here. Who are you? No, I think the guy was a little more intrusive than that. Read on. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, "Don't fear, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son." Been praying for a long time. He's kind of like, "Lord, I think you're a little late. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." See, he was waiting on that. You know, Elijah's going to return. The people had been waiting for that. And here's Zechariah. It was kind of like when the angel came to Mary, the angel came to Zechariah, just quietly in this little room. And something else funny happens in a minute. And he says, "He shall go in the spirit and the power of Elijah." And of course, Zechariah's like, "Yes. I mean, finally, Elijah's coming back. And it's my boy. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Wow! Prepare for the Lord? Preparing the way for the Messiah? Don't you know this guy was starting to jump? Or was he? And Zechariah said to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? How shall I know this is true? For I'm an old man. My wife is, she's old too. And the angel answering him said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak to you and to show you these things. And you shall not be able to speak until the day these things be performed. He can't tell anybody. He can't even tell anybody. Until the day that these things be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them, he motioned to them with his hands, and he remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministry were accomplished, that he departed, so they ministered for a certain period of time, and then he went, then they go to their own home. But you spend time, it's like a fireman. You know, you go down there and you stay for a while. It's like being in the reserve in the military. You go down and you serve, and then you go back home. So the days of his ministry were completed. He departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and did herself 5 months, saying, hid herself 5 months, saying, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, you know this story, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, hail, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. Call his name Yeshua. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how shall this be, seeing that I am not with a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Now here. Behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. But with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Well, if Elizabeth could get with child, hey, be it unto me according to your will, according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, people in the Old Testament got filled with the Holy Ghost from time to time. Remember, he said that that John would be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And she spoke out with a loud voice. Here come the Holy Ghost came on her. See, he came on her to prophesy. And she spoke out with a loud voice. She must have been a quiet woman, because here it said she spoke out with a loud voice. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And what is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Well, the first time Elizabeth had seen her. Apparently the Holy Spirit revealed to her that there were things that had been spoken to her that were going to come to pass. And she'll say it. The things that were spoken to you, those things will come to pass. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit, when you get a word like that, you're probably going to rejoice and magnify the Lord. Amen? And Mary said, My soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from hereafter all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. I gotta see how far I'm gonna read here. Here it is. And as in verse 55, as he spoke to our fathers and to Abraham to his seed forever, and Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah. Well, you know, they just named the boy after the dad, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And his mother, well, you remember his daddy was dumb. His daddy couldn't say anything. He could have wrote it down. Paper wasn't cheap. They didn't have post-it notes in those days. So they said, Elizabeth said, Not so, but he should be called John. And they said to her, There is none in your family by the name John. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Oh, here it is, a writing table. Got him saying, This is important, so they got him some paper. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And all of them marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately. And his tongue loosed. And he spoke and he praised God. And fear came on all them that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Powerful. God is making a way for his prophet. How many know he's going to make a way for you to declare the Lord? I mean, he did all that to create a way of entrance for the prophet to declare the word of the Lord. How much has he done to prepare a way for you to declare the word of the Lord? To declare the Lord. The blood and the body that we just partook. He's prepared a way now for you to declare that same as a priest. Amen? Now, the thing is, you got to know that this is not about how good you do, how perfect you are, how powerful you are. Amen? Huh? Just walk in trust and belief that the Lord, in your mouth, in your walk, is the Word of God. Amen? Isn't this you? Haven't you entered into the kingdom of God? Don't you walk in His presence? Say yes. Huh? Yes! Not maybe, not, well, I'm not quite sure. Let me pray about it. No! You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been made a king and a priest before God. He has prepared a way, moved heaven and earth to bring to pass a means by which the Holy Spirit will speak and prepare the way of the Lord, and so are you. A way of the Lord, to declare the way of the Lord. Amen? Huh? Yes. See, even in the Old Testament, I mean, things were just going downhill. God prophesied. And then he said, Go ye therefore into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Teach. Declare. Why are you here? Well, I thought I was here to go to heaven. Now you're supposed to go, now we're going to tell you how to go out and witness 5 different laws. No, we're not. Four laws, Four spiritual laws. We made up a new one. We made up a new one. Hear the Holy Ghost. Worship God. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Luke chapter 3. Let's hear about this. Let's read about this John guy. He was a good little baby. Came, you know. Let's read about John. Chapter 3. Now in the 15th year, Luke chapter 3, of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip the Tetrarch of... I forget to practice this one. Atruria, something. In the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the Tetrarch of Abilene. Abilene? Man. And he came into all the country about Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John came in preaching the baptism of sins for the remittance of sins. And it is written in the book of Isaiah, of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers. Hey, it's a good preaching, isn't it? O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So who's he talking to? Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests. Did we read verse 2? Did I skip it? That's terrible. Y'all didn't even know what I was preaching about, did you? Let's read verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And then the rest of what I read. And then John said, I'm not nervous, are y'all? I'm just hiding behind this box. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who has warned you to flee from the wrath? Why are you here in my services? See, you got all these guys coming down to see what John's preaching about. Hey, you guys there in the back, hiding out. Who warned you to flee, you vipers? Hallelujah. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do? Somebody got convicted. What shall we do? He answers and says to them, he that has two coats, let him give to one that has none. He that has meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and he said to him, Master, what shall we do? And he said to them, take no more than what is appointed. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, say the soldiers could come in and take all this, they could demand that you let them stay in your house and eat all your food and all that. That's what the soldiers could, they were coming in and the Holy Spirit was dealing with them. So what shall we do? He said to them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Don't take from the people down the road. Be content with what you're paid. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying to them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I. He knew what they were saying. But one comes mightier than I, that the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And many other things in his exhortation preached he to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, he'd married his brother's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, and added yet this above all. And on top of this, all his preaching, that he shut John up in the prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. So Jesus came to John to be baptized. And the Holy Ghost descended upon him in a bodily shape, like a dove upon him, and voice came to, from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let's turn over to John, chapter 6. Okay, that's the ministry of John. Kind of a hothead, wasn't he? Straightforward, eh? John chapter 1, verse 6. So John came to prepare the way. Repent. Change your mind. What does repent mean? Anybody know? Turn your back, turn around, change your mind, go the other way, 180. Turn around, change your mind. You're confused. You need to change your mind. You're thinking wrong. Change your mind. Change your whole worldview. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You've been in the kingdom of this world. Now you're living in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your mind. You've been going a certain way. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your mind. Repent. The reason John was preaching, he was preaching, change your mind. There's something coming. Something new is coming. Something new for you has already come. Change your mind. You know, it's funny how we can continue to just live in this world when all things have been changed. Everything's different. Everything's different. The Holy Ghost is here. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost. Remember in John 16? He said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will show you everything that I've told you. Let's look at the introduction of Jesus. John's introduction of Jesus. Okay, look at chapter 1, verse 6 of John, 6 through 8, and then we'll go to verse 19. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" I'm not going to answer. And he said, "I am not." He said, "He's not Elijah." Just hold on. Just hold on right there. Keep that one in mind. And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What do you say of yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent of the Pharisees, and they asked him, and said to him, "Why do you baptize then, if you be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you, whom you know not. He it is who is coming after me, who is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now the next day, John sees Jesus coming to him." There's coming one. He knew there was coming one. He knew why he was here. He knew what he was doing. The next day, John sees Jesus coming, and behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, because he was before me." He's 6 months younger than him. He was before me. and I knew him not. But that he should made be man, excuse me, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him, and they followed Jesus. John says later, he must increase, and I must decrease. His ministry was complete. Later, lost his head. John's ministry was complete. It was to introduce the Savior. Matthew chapter 11, last scripture. Matthew chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to him, Are you he that should come? How funny. Are you he that should come? Or do we look for another? So see, John didn't know everything. John didn't know everything about what the ministry of Jesus was to be, how he was going to manifest. John didn't even know. But the Lord was preparing the way for something that was going to open the door for you and for me. But John didn't even know what that was. Are you he that should come? Or do we look for another? Now there are certain things that John knew because of the prophecies. But still, how many of you, some days you get a little, things just don't look quite right. And Jesus answered and said to them, here's what he's going to do. He's going to do what I'm doing for you. He's going to give you the word of the Lord. He's going to show him the prophecy fulfilled. And Jesus answered and said to them, Go and show John again these things which you do both see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Something impressive? What did you go out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare the way of your way before you. This is him. This is the one who prepared the way. Verily I say to you, among them that are born of women, there has not been one arisen greater than John the Baptist. And notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's you. That's you. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. John said, are you Elijah? No. Jesus said, this is Elijah. You don't know what you're called to. You know you're called to something, but you don't know everything. Just do what God showed you to do. Maybe it's just get up in the morning. Maybe it's care for your kids. Maybe it's meet with your business associates and forgive them. Forgive your wife. Forgive your children. Forgive your parents. Not as a law, not as a work, so God will love you or like you, but because you're empowered by the Holy Ghost and you're a minister, a king, and a priest unto God. That's who you are. You're powerful, awesome, mighty. Who, me? Yeah, you. What, you see somebody better around you? You're wrong. You see somebody better around you? You're wrong. You're blessed. You're mighty. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. Confess your sins. Get free from guilt, condemnation. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Trust in the Spirit. Have faith in the Spirit of the living God who has overwhelmed and overcome sin in you by the blood of Jesus, of which we've taken today. It's not just the taking of. It's hope and faith in the finished blood, the finished work. Amen? Hallelujah. See, we listen and we hear these things, but then we, like we've said this morning, we forgot the statutes. We forgot the word of the Lord. See, amen. Every day you'll forget. Understand that every day your brains are going to forget. My soul faints for your salvation. But I, the new man, I hope in your word. I hope in your word. Zechariah hoped in the word of the Lord. And it came to pass, and he was surprised. Who, me? Remember Gideon? We mentioned him this morning. Hail, O mighty man of valor. Who? Me? He's speaking to you. Not because of you, but because of your Savior. Because of the Holy One who lives on the inside of you. Anybody say amen? This is true. This is the fact that God has come down to men and placed Himself and His Spirit on the inside of you. Because He desired to have fellowship with you. And He also desired that you would minister and give the gospel and become a minister of reconciliation unto the world. That's why you're here. That's why you're not dead. Might as well take you home. No. He that believes will do greater works than even John. Nevertheless, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Why? Because of your goodness or something? That guy didn't even drink strong drink. Is that why? He's a good guy? No. It's by faith. You're living totally by faith. What's by faith? By faith is not working up some kind of getting your thing started in the morning. Gee, I got to work by faith. I got to work it by faith. Boy, it's hard, especially when it's cold, right? To get your faith motor going. Nonsense. You're walking by faith. That is, hope. Your total hope is in the blood of Jesus. Your total hope is in the finished sacrifice of Jesus. The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's all. So you just thank Him for it. Just start thanking Him. Open your mouth and start giving thanks in the morning. Start giving thanks when things go wrong. Start giving thanks, like me yesterday when everything was going wrong. Then I got angry. Then I yelled. Then you just repent and say, Jesus, that was stupid. Amen. Did y'all do that yesterday? I did. I just got all over people. Usually it's the family. You know, they just do silly stuff. They do stuff that just mess up my day. Anybody like me? Anybody mess up your day? Hallelujah. But, man, I had it pointed out to me. I said, you know, you're right. God's good, isn't he? You know you're the beloved of the Lord. Amen. God's good. I love you. Remember John. It's good to go through these things. It's good to rehearse these things. Bring them before our faces. Amen. Well, I believe it is. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, we magnify you and we praise your name. Let's lift our hands and just thank him and out of your mouth, not just me. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voices. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. So you can hear your own voice. It's good to hear your own voice. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. I confess all of my sins. Bring them to me. Let me see them so that I can repent and be clean. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have just revealed to us. I pray that there are things that have been revealed in the life of John the Baptist today that I don't even know about. All I know is what I was told to do, and I do it. So I just give you praise, Lord God, that you're just manifesting yourself in glory and thanksgiving and forgiveness among your people. That the ministry of this people goes forth with strength, with joy and forgiveness all across the world, all across this town, all across this body. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. All right, tonight, 6 o'clock, last time for discipleship, faith. Okay, so be here at 6. Lord bless you.